Welcome to the Full Circle Podcast with Julie, Glenn, and Phil.
Hi, this is Deanne G from Elevate Your Mind. Welcome to the Full Circle Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Full Circle Podcast. Good evening, Glenn.
Hello there, Phil. How are you diddly doing? Have you had a good week?
I have. Oh, do you know what, Glenn? I was going to say good evening, Julie, then, but again, Julie's not here, sadly. She's getting stretched again, isn't she? She's doing her yoga. So I don't know how long she's... I don't know if it's going to be a regular occurrence for Julie now that this is just the norm for Julie on a Friday evening, to be honest, Glenn.
I believe it is, yeah. I believe she's getting pretty booked up with that line of work.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I'm good. I've had a good week.
Excellent. I mean, we haven't hooked up. Was it 2 or 3 weeks now, is it?
Yeah.
Probably so.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yeah. And I'm getting busier, Glenn. Fully, obviously. Talked last time, didn't we? Being fully self-employed now.
You did, yeah.
Winding my way.
Okay.
Through life.
Well, that's good.
So, yeah, but not looking back whatsoever, Glenn, to be honest.
Oh, it just shows you when you take that leap of faith, the universe has your back.
And it was a massive leap of faith back in January. And absolutely, the universe has absolutely got my back. So
that's wonderful.
I couldn't ask for better. I couldn't ask for more. So good. It's all good.
Fantastic.
What about you, Glenn?
Me, yeah, pretty much like yourself. It's been very busy, I would say, since the end of November last year. Every week has been solid busy. And in fact, I'm trying to set aside time to put together my second book. But the time slots I have available are always taken up by clients or teaching and stuff. So,
okay.
So obviously it's not meant to be done yet. So yeah, I'm taking that for a hint. But yeah, I've been very busy.
Are we allowed any hints on your new book, or are you talking about it at all or not?
I'm going to wait till it's finished because I'm halfway through. And so knowing me, I'd say something and then potentially something could go wrong. So I'd sooner wait till I've got it done, if you know what I mean.
Is it the same style as your previous book, Glenn?
I would say not. It's not channeled as such. It is and it isn't. It's more about self-help and development rather than deep spiritual truths and, you know, channelings. So I'd say that's the outline. And it's kind of to promote self-help, you know, and look within for answers, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, good.
I've been busy doing that. And I don't know about you, but I've been finding recently, since this year started, no end of opportunities are knocking at my door, so to speak.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, that's thank you, universe, first of all.
Do you keep saying yes?
I keep saying yes. And then after I've said yes, I think, when am I going to sleep?
Yeah, same.
But I can't complain to answer your question.
I keep saying yes to things at the minute. And then I think to myself, what have I done? Why have I said yes to that? But I'm going to keep saying yes. I'm going to just, that's, no is... I know it should be in my vocabulary, but yes is the prominent word at the minute.
Brilliant. That's what I like to hear.
So, anyway, Glenn, we've got a guest in the wings.
We have.
Haven't we? So.
Waiting patiently.
Oh, Julie's microphone's just gone kaplunk.
Oh, hello. Okay. She's not even here. She's here in spirit. Knocking a mic over.
Knocking everything over. She's not even here. So. Our guest this evening is with us to talk about all things elemental, all things fae. An extraordinary fairy and elemental investigator. Please welcome Jem Allbrow.
Hello, hello.
Hi there, Gem. How are you?
Hi. I'm very well, thank you. Yes, very excited to be here. Thank you for having me. It's very exciting.
Oh, you are so welcome. You are so welcome.
Thank you agreeing to giving up a portion of your Friday night to come on with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure. No problem.
So, Gem, we're going to throw you in at the deep end.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, first of all... Gem, I was introduced to you last year, I think it was September, and we went on a Woolerton gnome investigation in Nottinghamshire. Yeah. And this is where I met yourself there and your sister Kate, and I was intrigued with what you were telling me and the evidence you were showing me. And so hence, this is why we've been dying to get you both on to the show for the listeners to hear more about it.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned about the evidence. I think what's I want to say unique. There's not many people, and I have looked on the internet for anybody that might have anything similar to me. But what I'm actually talking about is that I have literally hundreds and hundreds of videos of I would call them fairies, but you know, elements. I've seen all sorts, and these videos are from the security cameras in my garden, it all happened. It's coming up to a year when it first started, but it was all just by chance, fluke. I don't know who knows, but you know, it's absolutely blew my mind when I first saw a pixie. That's the first elemental that I saw on my Ring camera. So I literally have got hours and hours of film footage, and some of them I share onto a private Instagram account. I mean, I don't make them. I haven't really made them available on the internet because I just think that they're so mind-blowing, and I think a lot of people would be frightened. Most people that I have seen, I've shown the odd one or two video footage or photos, they either get very aggressive with me over social media because I think they're afraid, or they think that I've doctored it somehow, or they think that they're looking at I don't know, something, a dust particle or something. So that's normally the general consensus that I get. If I have experimented and put the odd picture on, for example, I've done it on Facebook. Yeah. Are you keeping up with me, guys? I'm sorry. I just...
Keep going.
Yeah, so I'm part of loads of paranormal groups on Facebook, and I've posted the odd one or two photos, and the reception that I get is very negative. So I don't do that. So I've got a private Instagram account where people that are interested, and there are lots of people that are interested, believe it or not, in fairies, and they can request to join. I'm quite picky with who, because I'm conscious that I don't want people to take the video footage and put it all over the internet, out of respect for the fairies as well, to be honest with you. Glenn, I know that you follow me on the Instagram, but Phil, if you're more than welcome to, if you want to have a look. I don't know if Glenn showed you anything, but how it all started is about 12 months ago, it was the 20th of March last year, when I was on the Ring camera. So In our back garden, I am very lucky and fortunate to have my own she shed. It's a log cabin, and I'm sat in here now talking to you because it's the quietest place. Otherwise, I'd have two kids, a husband, and two cats all getting my attention. But in my cabin, I come here and I make a few things with crystals. I work with crystals and I sell a few crystals, etc. So it's full of crystals and all kind of metaphysical things, etc. But on the outside of the cabin is a Ring camera. So my husband first got a Ring camera, just to give you a bit of background, about 3 years ago. And he's decided that, you know, he really enjoyed them. So we got one on the front door, and he went a bit Ring camera crazy, but we've got one in the back garden on the cabin, etc. So, well, the point that I'm getting to is, so last March I came out of the house and I walked across the short path to the cabin. And as I walked past, I glanced down there is the remains of a tree, which is low to the ground tree stump, which had a nice mossy covering. And I used this tree stump to photograph some of my crystals that I was, you know, I had an Etsy shop at the time, I don't now, but I was selling a few crystals. So as I made my way one morning, not thinking about anything apart from, you know, what I was doing today, etc., doing the washing, all the general things that you think about, really mundane. As I walked past the tree stump, it was covered in pumpkin seeds. So this was, it's about February last year this started, actually.
Yeah.
And it was going on for a few weeks. And I thought, oh, that's really odd. So the pumpkin seeds had come from, there was a couple of pumpkins further along the wall. So the tree stump is, sorry, next to this, to the wall, the boundary wall. So further along the wall, I'd placed last Halloween's pumpkins outside, left them for nature. So by February time, they'd opened up and the seeds were exposed. So, but they were a good 3 feet away from the tree stump. So it was really odd that these pumpkin seeds were on the tree stump, and I was a bit perplexed. I thought, I'm sure I didn't put, why would I put pumpkin seeds on the tree stump? I keep it clean, you know, I use it for my photographs, etc. It had a lovely, vibrant, mossy covering. So anyway, I just brushed them off, thought, okay, must be going a bit bonkers. And that was it. Went about my day, went inside, etc. Normal day, went to bed. The next day, I came out again in the morning, walked past the tree stump, glanced down, did a double take, stopped. What? They're there again. I thought, no, they can't be. And the ones that I'd swept off the day before were on the ground. So I thought, okay. So I did a little chuckle to myself. I thought, this can't be supernatural. No. And I thought, this is really odd. So, and I was like, what? And I thought, no. So anyway, I swept them off again. But it was, a little bit like, if my kids are doing this, I need to ask them to not do it because I need to keep this tree stump clean, you know, for my photos. So anyway, I thought, I'll go and ask them. But I went into the house, asked my son, did you put pumpkin seeds on the tree stump? You know, and they just looked at me like, no. So I asked my son and daughter, they both looked at me, no. They don't really go out in the garden, sadly. They're, you know, children of the modern era. They use their phones most of the time. But anyway. So then I thought, I'll go and ask my husband. And I was halfway through asking him and I thought, no, just, you know, it wouldn't even cross his mind to do anything like that. You know, it's not anything, you know. So I didn't finish my sentence. Anyway, I swept them off and went about my day. But I thought, right, there's a ring camera on the log cabin. And it luckily, the tree stump was directly in the line of this camera. So I thought, I'm going to do a stakeout here. I'm going to find out what's going on. So I did. And I sat up, so the camera app's on my phone, so I was in the comfort of my bed upstairs, you know, but I thought, I'm going to watch. So I did, and nothing happened for a few hours. And then I saw this light, just this tiny little bright light appeared on the tree stump, and it went back and forth from the pumpkins, because you could just about see the pumpkins, they're a bit closer to the camera, and then back to the tree stump, you can see that it's a bit elevated, higher than the ground, so you can see it going back and forth. Next morning, I couldn't really see much, but the next morning I went out and there were back again, the pumpkin seeds. I was like, what on earth? What is that? You know, what? So there's just this tiny little bright light. But the other thing that happened, so I can't remember if it was the same night or the night after, but it was very, very close. But the next thing that happened, so I was watching this camera for hours and hours from like 10 o'clock until, you know, 6 a.m., something like that, because at about 3 a.m., there was a very quick flash on the decking, so closer to the house. So if you're looking from the camera, that's the furthest away. So you've got the camera, then you've got the pumpkins, then you've got the halfway along the path, you've got the tree stump, and then you've got the decking steps. You're on the decking, and then you know you walk 2-3 steps, and you're into the house.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you the distance, but it's, you know, not that far. But anyway, there was this flash on top of the decking. So I thought, well, that was interesting. What was that? So I went back into the recording, I screen recorded that part, and then my son had shown me how to use an app. I'm getting into a dinosaur now, but anyway, he showed me how to use this app to slow down the footage. That's pretty much the maximum, that's all the skills you'll get out of me for video editing, that's it. Anyway, I slowed it down, and I could not believe what I saw, and this is the beginning, this is the first elemental that I saw.
Wow.
And if you'd asked me, January last year, do you believe in fairies? I would have said, maybe, not sure. I'm not sure, but you know, but anyway, but if you'd said to me, would you believe that you would see a pixie wearing a crown, holding a chihuahua dog and holding a cup on your decking? Obviously, you would have said no. Wow. I mean, I know it sounds bonkers, I can hear myself now, but that is exactly what I saw. Yeah. So this flash, I slowed it down. And what it was, it must have been about, I'd say it was about six to eight inches in height. This, and it was, it's see-through, so you can see through him. So he's like a spirit. So, I mean, yeah. Elementals, they are spirits, aren't they? They're yes. called nature spirits. But yeah, about 6 to 8 inches in height, he was, and the way that some, and the way that they look as well, I mean, this one in particular, very large round eyes, but with a black dot in the centre. A lot of the fairies that I see have got very small black eyes, but this okay. pixie, I'll say pixie, I don't know what he was, but he was, it looked like a male elemental, yeah. but he was wearing a crown, and he's holding in his, under his left arm, he's holding a chihuahua dog. I know it sounds bonkers, but it's a small dog. You can see it's got a black nose, it's got its tongue hanging out of its mouth.
Wow.
And in the other hand, he's holding a beaker. So think like a whiskey beaker, that shape of glass.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it comes from the ground, does a spin, very quick spin, kind of pauses for a second, and then just moves off to the right. And it's in points of seconds. Alongside him, there was, just before he appeared, there was, I think, a female fairy, but she was slimmer. She was probably about the same height, maybe a little bit shorter, but she looked like she was wearing medieval clothes. It's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
So you can't really see her features, but you can see that it's human shape. But so you've got like, the head coverings that medieval women would wear, and then the very long dress, the very straight line dress to the floor. And she was the quickest and still is the quickest fairy that I've ever seen. And she ran off. And I think you can also see like the beginnings of her arms. You know, if I say to you, go into a running pose,
yeah.
her arms go like that. But then she just becomes a blur. But she was the quickest one I've ever seen. And even when you slow her down, she's so quick. You just cannot really make out anything. But she shot off diagonally across the garden. So towards the cabin, but diagonally.
Yeah.
So to the left of the cabin. There was also, and I didn't notice at the time, and I've seen many of them now, but there was also big orbs. And I do see that quite often as well, these orbs. And I mean, sometimes these orbs have got faces in as well. I've got an amazing photograph that I've captured off my iPhone. So that's the other thing. It's not just the Ring cameras. I've got captures on my iPhone as well.
That's fantastic. Have you ever seen them with the naked eye?
There's this big orb. Well, I'll tell you about that in a second.
Oh,
I've
okay.
only seen... I've only seen one with the naked eye,
yeah.
and I didn't know that I'd seen it until afterwards. But I'll tell you that in a moment.
Can I whip you back a little bit? Because I just wanted to ask about the pumpkin seeds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel that they were? Were they left for you as a message or a symbol, or what do you think they were there for?
That's a brilliant question. Now, I think that they were left there on purpose to get my attention.
Yeah.
I really do. Because if they didn't want to be seen, they, trust me, they won't come. Mm. And I have spent thousands of hours monitoring these cameras and logging everything and, you know, just recording everything that I see. And there are days when they don't come.
Mm.
They don't. You see nothing at all. There is no rhyme or reason to when they appear. It's when it suits them. But I really do believe that these pumpkin seeds were left to get my attention. I mean, these pumpkin seeds, at one point, they were separated into two piles on the tree stump. So one was the pile of the skins that had been removed from the seeds.
Wow.
And then the other pile was, you know, the seeds, the skinless seeds, but two separate piles.
Yeah.
And you could always see the seeds that had swept off the days before. They were just on the pebbles because, you know, shingle garden.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're there to be seen. So I really do believe...
They're a symbol of harvest, aren't they, pumpkin seeds
yeah.
as well? So
there
maybe
some,
there was a message, maybe it may be a message for that for you.
I really do think that it was to get my attention.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say as well, if I can just interject, with it being a tree stump, maybe that's their way of telling you, look, we're not happy that this tree ever got cut down.
Yeah.
And we'd like you to replant. And maybe the seeds were like a gesture, look, come on, we need that replenishing or something new in its place.
Well, you could be onto something there because, I mean, that tree was felled, I'd say, at least 15 years ago, very long time ago. but just over the other side of the wall. And now this wall is a beautiful old flint wall. It's at least 200 years old, and it belongs to, there's a lovely Victorian house, which is, you know, the other side of the wall. They've got a really large garden. In the corner of their garden, so directly behind where my tree was, where the tree stump is, there was a beautiful elder tree, which I used to grow over our side, and I loved it. It was beautiful. And I used to use that to hang, make some hanging crystal sun catchers as well. And I used to use that for my photos all through the summer, the previous summer. So that would have been summer 22. And it got chopped down for no reason other than they wanted to put a shed there to keep chickens. And it was a tragedy. It'd been there probably, you know, I don't know, 80 years, maybe longer. Because there's a row of them as well. They've got apple trees, they've got fig trees. So, there was a row of fruit trees. So there's the apple and the fig still remain there at the other end.
When the tree was felled, was that the start of experiencing?
No, it wasn't. That's a really good question. But that was in the summer, and I knew nothing. There was nothing. There was nothing. There was a big major thing that happened. That was a couple of years before. But that was, if you ask, remind me about the jewellery I've got. There is some kind of weird connection that I have with jewellery and things going missing. But that's the only other thing that happened, really, that was really odd in my house. But no, back to your question. No, there was no connection. It was the summer of 22 when it got felled, and then it was the end of winter 23 when it all started to happen.
Right,
The pumpkin seeds are, I don't know. I mean, I put the pumpkin out this October. I was like, right, I'm excited. I put it out there. Wait to see. Nothing happened. There's no light. I mean, if it was an animal that was moving these pumpkin seeds, one, I've never heard of an animal that repeatedly spends hours, and hours, I'm talking 3-4 hours repeatedly going from the stump to the seeds and then putting them on there and going back and forth for a good month. Honestly, until all the seeds disappeared. But what animal would do that? I mean, this light was so small that you couldn't really see what it was, but how it moved, you could tell it was moving with intelligence. It would come off the stump, and then it would also move over the gravel, and it would go to the edge of the grass, and it would, like, it was looking for something, and then it would go back to the pumpkins, and then it would go back to the tree stump, and then the light would go out, and then it would reappear again in a different spot. It was just bizarre, but... Anyway, so that's how I ended up seeing this pixie and then the medieval fairy, because I was monitoring the tree stump. Not in a million years did I ever think that I would see a fairy. Wasn't even on my radar. I was just curious to know what the light was. What was it? Really interesting. Because in my house, I live in a 1930s semi-detached house, and it's when I first moved here, there was definitely a spirit of some sort that was in the house, and it's gone now. I mean, throughout my life, I've always been sensitive, and I've always had a known about things, and I just knew there was a spirit, and it used to come in visitation, and I think that it was somebody that used to live there. They were coming back to check on the house that they loved, and then they went away again. Because, I mean, my husband and I, we love the original features, so we've kept all, you know, the picture rails, there's wood around the windows, there's the original fireplaces, they're all still there.
Yeah.
So we look after it. We do, but absolutely. When I first moved in there, on the second floor of the bedroom where my husband and I live now, well, you know, sleep, not live. That nobody ever wanted. We used to live on the first floor before we had children, and obviously they got our rooms and we moved up. But nobody ever wanted to go up there. It was cold. You knew there was somebody there, etc. So, but over the years, I mean, we moved into that bedroom and then that spirit moved out. But we used to hear the class things, like the odd footsteps going up the stairs when nobody was here. Even a babysitter heard them once. I felt so sorry for her. But, awesome. But that spirit's gone. But let me tell you about, before I forget, the jewellery thing, because connects to this house. So in lockdown, my husband's wedding ring totally disappeared. And it was before lockdown. So I'd say that it disappeared in 2019, maybe 2018. And my husband, you know, he always puts his watch and his ring in the same place, or one of two or three places where he'll keep them. And it just disappeared. And we looked for this ring for years. I'm not an exaggeration. And we even got to the stage where we cut the bottom out of our sofa to see if it was in there. it just gone, and we couldn't understand it. And so every few months I'd say to my husband, oh, have you found your ring? And I knew he hadn't because he wasn't wearing it. But that was me saying, no, are you looking for it still? And he's like, yeah, you know, I just don't understand where it is. Look through the drawers, wardrobes, everywhere you could possibly think of, in the cars, everywhere. Sorry, I can't find it. So in my mind that day, I remember thinking, oh, please, can you please just help me find that ring? Didn't think anything else of it, you know, that was it. Mm. Went about my day. And this was when we were in lockdown. So we're in the very early stages of lockdown. So a couple of days after that, we were going for our, like, you know, 1 hour outing that you were allowed. And what we were doing in lockdown is, around the corner from where we live is a church with a really large car park, which was empty. So it was perfect to take our children to help them to learn how to ride their bikes. So that's what we were doing in lockdown. So where my log cabin is, it faces the back of the house. And then to the left of my log cabin is the shed. So I remember what we did. You have to come out the house, you have to walk over the lawn, open the shed, get the kids' bikes. That was what we did.
Yeah.
So actually, we all had a bike. We all went down there, and then we wheeled the bikes over the lawn, up onto the decking, over the decking, open the back gate, onto the drive, close the back gate, and off we went. Wound around the corner, walked to the, you know, did the bike lessons, etc. We're gone for about, I don't know, an hour, something like that.
Yeah.
And as we came back, I was the first person to open the back gate, and so I opened the back gate, and you've got the end of the, so the fence and the gate doesn't meet the decking, so you've got a little bit of the drive left. So when you open the gate, you've got a few bricks to walk on, and then you step onto the decking. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
Anyway, so I open the gate, but I can see there's something on the decking. So I looked down, and I just did a little laugh, because these things just happen to me. They always have done. Not just specifically with jewellery, but, you know, spirit or whatever has always made itself known to me my whole life without me even realising what it was. But look down, and there in the centre of the decking, so the third or fourth board in, right in the centre of the board as well, is my husband's wedding ring.
Wow.
I picked, and it's been missing for 3, maybe 4 years. I picked it up.
Wow.
And it looked as shiny as it was, you know, the day that he'd lost it. Now, if that ring had been outside through all this time, okay, we would have gone over it with the bikes. We would have seen it on our way to the bike ride. Two, if it had been there, by some reason nobody had seen it for 3-4 years on the decking, then it would be weathered, wouldn't it?
It clearly
would look like it'd been outside. And also, the gaps in between the decking boards were wider than the ring, so it could easily have just slipped through, you know, never to be seen again. So anyway, but my husband's face, bless him. So I picked it up, turned around, and then behind me I've got my son, then my daughter, then my husband, and I held it up and went, found your wedding ring. And he went, what? I said, yeah, here it is. Found your wedding ring. He went, what? I said, just say thank you. so he went, thank you. So that was that. So other pieces of jewellery that I've lost and have been returned to me, I'll just very quickly tell you. I used to live in, before I moved out, so I was like 20 years old-ish, and I lived with my mum in a lovely cottage in the village of Alton, Staffordshire, and I'd got this beautiful cubic zirconia, I think that's how you pronounce it, necklace, which was in the shape of a cross, and I loved it, just because it was really pretty. And I remember one day I grabbed it out of my room, and I'm always late, so I shoved it in the pocket of my handbag and thought, oh, I'll zip that up later, I'll put it on later, you know, got in the car, drove to work, forgot about it until about a week later, and I thought, oh no, because, you know, my bag had been thrown in the car, you know, everything spills out. I thought, oh, please let it be in there, but it wasn't in there, I'd lost it, and I knew it was my fault, because I'd been careless. Anyway, a month later, I'm just in the lounge bit of my mum's cottage, just, I can't remember what I was doing. This is back in the days when we had house phones. There's me and my cat, Poppy. She was sat on the windowsill. And I, yeah, in the olden days, as the kid says, yeah. But I'm just in the lounge, not even thinking about anything at all, especially not the necklace. I'd given up on that a long time ago. And I hear the noise of jewellery landing on the windowsill, the wooden windowsill. I looked, and there next to my cat, in between my cat and the house phone on the windowsill, is my necklace. And that's the first piece of jewellery that got returned to me. And I thought, no, no way. There's no way that, I mean, I heard it look, that heard it drop, which is what got my attention and made me look.
Yeah.
If it had been there, you know, again, same with the ring. If it had been there for a month, somebody would have seen it. I searched everywhere, hoping I'd find this necklace. And I didn't ask for it to be returned, though. It was just gifted back to me. And there's been another necklace that I asked for help, and I did find that. That was outside my house.
Was that... Was the necklace that was gifted back, was that a gift in the first place, or was it new for you, or was it brand new?
I'd had it a while. It was a gift from a boyfriend at the time. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't really sentimental to me or anything. I just loved it.
It didn't belong to anybody else before you had it.
No, it was always mine. It was brand new. Okay. It came from Carsington Reservoir. I don't know if you've ever been there.
Oh, yes. They had a gift shop.
It came from there years ago.
I was just wondering if somebody fancied having it back for a while. That's all.
Oh, that's a really good question. Well, you know, now going back to my husband's wedding ring. So now I'm wondering whether was it the fairies, the elementals that borrowed it, or... because I've read that they do like shiny things, or what, did they help me? Did they find it for me and bring it back to me? I've no idea, because it only came back when I asked in my mind for help. Never in a million years again. Never in a million years did I ever think we'd ever see it, but I thought it was worth a shot. Please, you know, anyone's listening to me, please help me find it.
Well, they call it an apport, don't they? A spirit can move things in any dimensions of time. So. Yeah. With elementals working in different dimensions, I can only assume that they're more skilled and proficient of doing that, more so than spirit.
Yeah. There's so much that we don't know. Mm. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I monitor the cameras, to try and learn about them as well.
I do love what you were saying there about your son showed you the technology to slow the footage down. And it was upon doing that that you began... to have all of these realizations and see this other realm, in your reality, that's incredible.
Yeah. So, like I said, most of them, I've stood outside in the garden with my phone in my hand, watching movement going around me, and then looking at so I can see it on my phone, and then trying to see if I can see it next to me, because it's next to me, and I cannot see anything. There's nothing, but I can see it. I don't know how it works. I don't know. No idea. The only thing I can see is, and I've seen it quite a few times, is the occasional flash. So it can happen anywhere in the garden. Tiny little flash, which is unusual in itself. But yeah, so that I can see. And I was going to tell you about the one that I did see with my own eyes. And I didn't realise what it was. And I could have kicked myself afterwards. But I have in the top left corner of the garden, there is a laburnum tree, and they do use that, I think. Interestingly, there's fairy doors on there that I've had on there for years. I don't know if that's me, if I invited them to come into the garden that way as well, but they use that as an entrance. They also use the fence. They also use the wall. I've seen them come from everywhere. It's not just fairies that I see. I've seen some really strange creatures, like some kind of dragon thing, and I've seen a jellyfish type thing that came out of the head.
Oh,
it was like a jellyfish, then it upturned into like an upturned umbrella. I've seen lights that you would class as UFO lights that have shot off, like, you know, when you see these lights on YouTube of these people that have recorded UFOs, and the speed that they leave, there's no insect that you could film that could move at that speed. But there's been a few light visitations. I've seen a humanoid white shape run across the other wall, so the wall furthest away from the cabin run down. That humanoid white shape was about, I'd say, I'm guessing it's difficult to judge the height, but I think maybe about 3 foot high.
Wow.
But completely white. But yeah, back to the thing that I did see. So I was recording on my iPhone last summer, lovely evening, the sun was setting, it was coming through the laburnum tree. I've got a couple of charms that hang on there, so it looked really pretty. I was taking a video of it and out of my peripheral vision. So it was like below, not to the left or right, but below, from right to left, I saw a white dandelion seed, and it was that size, and it was that color, and it was that speed, and it went from right to left. And I didn't look at it. I just thought, oh, there's a dandelion seed. And it went right under my nose, and I saw it on the camera. So I've got it on the camera, and just so happens that I luckily panned to the left as it went past me. Now, I didn't look at it with my eyes. I saw it with my peripheral vision, and I saw it on my iPhone, but I didn't actually turn my head to follow it from right to left. And I really wish I had done, because if I had, when it went left, it turned into an orange humanoid shape. It popped right into, there was no, and I slowed it down. There was no, there's no change. It's literally a white orb, and then it changes to the orange, bright orange humanoid shape, and then it just disappeared. And I could have kicked myself, honestly. That's the only one that I've seen with my eyes, and I didn't even know what it was. I didn't realise what I was looking at, because I just assumed that I could only see them through the camera lens, you see? So there you go.
That is incredible.
Orange as well.
It was amazing. Yeah, I can show you. I can send you some. Anything that you hear that you want to have a look at, just let me know.
Well, I think I followed you on Instagram.
Instagram?
Yes.
Yeah. So I unfortunately, I can't press click.
No, you're all right. No, don't do it. You don't need to do that now, not while we're on.
That's fine. But I'm talking to you on my phone, so I'm praying no one rings me, but no one really does.
Well, Jim, based upon all of your encounters and experiences and captures, can I ask, what is your definition of a fairy?
I don't know. A spirit. They're spirits. They are nature spirits. I think that is, you know, that is basically what they are. They are spirits. They're not, even though they can look humanoid, they're not, obviously, they're a being, but they're a sentient being, and they are. They're shapeshifters. They can change form. I've got them on camera. It sounds bonkers. I'm putting my head in my hands, but I've seen a female fairy turn into a toad, jump on my son's football, and then jump off. So she's a fairy toad, fairy. So you can see a shapeshift. And she's a fairy and then a toad, jumps onto the football, and then she jumps off, like, but flies off into the sky. But yeah, I've got that on
that
video.
That is incredible. That's
this is incredible. Yeah.
Almost to evade any capture, isn't it? So they disguise themselves back into, say, an animal, so they're not
animals.
Seen. You know, they're not seen.
That's, but you can see them. They're human. Some of them are humanoid. Some of them look human. So I think I've seen a fairy queen. She was really large, as in, well, a bit larger than most of them. Most of them are, I'd say, I don't know, somewhere between 2 to 4 inches, but she must have been about 9, 10 inches. She was really large, but she was beautiful. She looked human, and she was very regal how she moved, and she came out from the flint wall. So the flint wall's covered in ivy, and a lot of the fairies like to come out of the ivy. A lot of the gnomes, they come from the ground. I've seen lots of gnomes.
What can you define a gnome? What they visually gnomes, look like?
Yeah, so they look, again, they look cartoon-like. So it's really difficult to explain to you. They look humanoid, but they look cartoon-like. So the fairy queen, she looked human. So she was beautiful. Imagine like a painting from like a lady that's in like in a big, beautiful dress in a Victorian era.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she looked like that with her hair on top of her head. She was absolutely stunning. But most of them look cartoonish, like they've been animated. It's so difficult to explain, but they're not. They kind of look animated, but they don't. But the gnomes, they all wear the conical hats.
Do you think they always
come from the ground? They travel through the air, so they come upwards. Sorry, what was that question?
I was going to say, do you think they showed themselves to us in a way that we can conceive, or as we would expect to see them?
That's a really good question.
So do you think that you see them as some sort of comic portrayal?
I just think there's so many different ones. Mm. Like so many different people, the different faces, and it's the same for the gnomes and fairies and so many different kinds. I mean, I didn't have any expectations about what they looked like, because I didn't really think that really think that they existed. But I mean, I did see when I was 15, and how old am I now? 43. When I was 15, I did see a troop of gnomes come out from underneath the sofa. I'll tell you that story very quickly. I spoke to Jo Hickey Hall about this on her podcast, because let me take you back to lockdown. I was in my cabin every day, and I was making fairy inspired crafts. Now, when I say fairy inspired, I'm talking about crystals with flowers, fairy gardens, mushrooms, that kind of thing, but made out of crystals and dried flowers. That's what I was doing. So I Googled, you know, fairies one day. This is how I ended up coming across Jo Hickey Hall's podcast. I thought, oh, this is really interesting. I really enjoyed it. And then I got to the episode where she was talking to, I think it's Dr. Jack Hunter, and he's talking about his experience of when he had some mushrooms, and that opened his third eye, and he saw these, I think it was a gnome that he saw in his brother's bedroom drawer, something like that. And I had an epiphany moment. I literally dropped what I was holding and went, and I said out loud to the cat, because that's the only person that, well, it was just me and the cat. Oh my God, I actually saw the gnomes, because all of these years, I assumed what I'd seen, my brain had made up, because what had happened was 15 years old, there was me and three of my friends. And one of the friends that I didn't know, it was a friend of a friend, brought with him. We got this house to ourselves, you know, what 15-year-olds do, they smoke and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But it was, you know, it was all very innocent, you know, just literally, we were just chatting and just, that was it. But anyway, this friend brought this bag of magic mushrooms, and I'd never even heard of them before, but he made one cup of coffee and he split it between four of us. And I was like, oh, yeah, go on then, I'll have a bit of that. You know, and nothing happened at all. I remember sitting on the sofa, and two of my friends were sat on the other sofa to the left of me, which is in the bay window, and I was sat on the sofa against the wall with the door to my right, and I was facing the fireplace. And I was just sat there, just very relaxed, listening to them, having a chat, and they were facing each other, not looking at me. Anyway, out of the corner of my eye, I see this scurrying on the ground. So I look down, and there is a line of little men with beards and hats, and they're running in a line. The only way I can describe it to you is like lemmings. And they run from underneath the sofa, and they run along. You know, you get like a floral print fireplace rug.
Yeah.
They were running along this rug, and it was like dark reds, blacks, and whites. So they were sticking to the dark areas, literally jumping, weaving in and out, following the flowers, the pattern, until they got to the end of the rug. And then one by one, there was a leader, and the leader points to the floor. They jump and they disappear one by one into the floor until the leader, he went. And it was over in a matter of seconds. And they were so small, they must have been, I don't know, 15 centimetres, something like that, 15, 20 centimetres in height. But they were little men with beards, boots. And I was like, oh, okay. Because I fully expected, when I saw the scurrying, to see a mouse. Because at the time I lived in rural Staffordshire Moorlands, and we lived in an old farmhouse, which had got beams for the window mantles, and they'd got holes in, and you'd see a mouse peeking out of the hole sometimes. And, you know, it was just normal to me. I just saw these cute little mice, and there were some people would be horrified, but, you know, it was a very old house, lots of nooks and crannies. So fully expected to see a mouse, but it wasn't. It was the group of little men, as I called them. And they came from underneath the sofa, like they were running really quickly, like they didn't want to be seen. And I didn't move. And they'd obviously knew that I was there, because they could see my massive feet and legs, you know, because I'm sat on the sofa. But I remember turning to my friends and said, did you see the little men? And they stopped their conversation. These two boys looked at me and they went, no. Like, looked me up and down like I'm bonkers. And so that was that. So all these years, I just assumed that my brain had made up, because I'd had this magic mushroom coffee, but nothing else happened. I didn't see anything else. Whether or not it was just the right amount to open up my third eye, or I don't know. But I just remember I was happy and relaxed. And apparently other people, when they've had fairy experiences, they were in that same kind of mood. They're feeling happy and relaxed.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? But yeah, so bring you back to, you know, to 2020, whenever it was, I was in the cabin and I was like, Jo Hickey Hall's interviewing Jack. And he said, yeah, and we had those magic mushrooms. And then we saw these gnomes. I was like, oh my God. So yeah. There we go. And that piqued my interest. I've totally forgot where I was going with this.
That is absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
We're blown away.
That's how I started learning about fairies, and I phoned Kate and said, Kate, do you remember when I told you about I saw the little men? And at first she went, no. And she was like, oh, I do remember. Yeah. And then I said, look, you have to listen to this podcast. So then Kate listened to it as well. And then eventually we got chatting to Jo, and then eventually we did go on to her, her podcast, and we're episode number 57, I think, because we had loads of things that happened to us. Very briefly, we had the morning of our granddad's funeral, there was this black raven that had got into my auntie's house. Wow. There was no way it could have got in. There's perspex in the windows. There's no chimney. It was really, really strange. But listen to the podcast to find out if you want to hear about that. But we lived in the farm called Hob Meadows. Now, we didn't realise that Hob is another name for a fairy. So Hob is like a farm fairy. And we didn't know this. Now, this farm had been there for, it's been there for hundreds. There's been a property on that site for maybe 1,000 years. It's in the Doomsday Book, that location. Morridge, Moorridge, and just over Moorridge, just over the other side of where we lived, there's a Mixon Mines, which was, there's a fairy called the Mixon Mine Fairy. There's lots of sightings of her. A bit further along the road, you've got the mermaid, the black, it's called the Black Mere, or Black Moor, but Black Mere Pool, that's the mermaid. So she's meant to drag you to your death if you, obviously, you know, we all know what mermaids do. Mm-hmm. But it's in that area. Kate had heard chanting monks outside of her bedroom window once when she was about 18, which terrified her. Then we found out that not far from, oh, that land used to be owned by an abbey that used to farm that land. Abbey Holton, I think it was. They used to own that land where our house was. And then in the barn, you used to have to go out into the barn if the bad weather tripped the electrics, and that was terrifying anyway, let me tell you. But sometimes you couldn't even find a torch. Honestly, petrifying. But I used to go out there and switch the switch to put the electric back on. But many times you'd hear like a deep male voice in that barn, and there's no one there. So, and then the farm's called Hob Meadows. So we were like, oh, perhaps it's a hob that still lives there, that, you know, is the farmhand, etc. You know, about the people used to leave cream for the farmhand, the fairy, things like that.
So in many respects, I would say your upbringing and what you've encountered growing up has allowed you to blossom in terms of your sensitivity, which potentially has led to you having these encounters more so now than ever. And obviously, when we was all going through lockdown, there was quite a lot of people that were starting to see the world of the unseen, whether it was spirits or seeing colours or, you know, having this extrasensory perception that was almost turned on. And if you think back to the beginning of lockdown, everybody's been busy, busy, busy for years. And all of a sudden, we all had that time to pause and reflect. And I feel that that potentially would have triggered a lot of your sensitivity online again to have these encounters.
I absolutely agree with you. But I do think that the unseen world did use that time to get people's attention. Yeah. I really do. I mean, just going back to Hob Meadows Farm, I remember we moved there when I was 5 years old, and I can remember having a dream that I still remember it now. I can still see it. And I was five, okay, but my dream, and I remember telling my mum, in my dream, I was looking in a mirror and the reflection back at me was of a youngish man, but I wasn't afraid because I knew that he was me. And what 5-year-old comes out with that, you know? Mm. And we're a family that we never talked about religion. You know, I was never christened. We never went to church, nothing like that. We never talked about death or anything. So for a 5-year-old to come out with that, and it's pretty mind blowing, but it was just knowing that I had, that I knew that that person was me. So I think really that I was perhaps, I don't know, remembering a past life. No idea. But all sorts of things have happened to me. My auntie Jill, bless her, she passed away almost a year ago now, but she used to love going ghost hunting, and she would always take me with her, and she called me ghost bait because whenever I went, they'd always pick on me. Always. Things would always happen. An amazing story. Two very quick stories to tell you. I don't know if you're going to run out of time.
No, carry on. We've got loads of time.
Let me take you back to the village of Alton. So I'm now about, 21, 22. And there was this pub called, I won't say the name of the pub actually, but there's a few pubs in Alton. And there was this pub, and the landlady at the time, she'd not been very well. So between Kate and I, we used to like pretty much run this pub for her. It was only a small pub, but we used to open up. We used to deal with the deliveries, etc. And you know, that pub, it's like a 17th century old building. You know, you can picture it, and it's got creaky floorboards and things like that. I just knew there was something there. But downstairs was okay, but upstairs was another something else. There was something else up there, and there was three or four bed and breakfast rooms, and then there was the apartment where the landlady lived. But you never went up there really, unless you had to do help her with the changeover of bed and breakfast. But because she was ill, she was in hospital, there was no guests staying, so there was no one there. So it was about a Tuesday night. There was myself, Kate. There was another girl from the village, and then there was Kate's friend that was visiting. Now, Kate's friend, we'll call him Steve, he was sensitive, and he could talk to spirit. And it was about 11 o'clock at night. The pub was locked. There was only us four in there, and we were just chatting to ourselves. And we said, right, when the pub's closed, let's see if we can contact the spirit of the drayman. That's what they called him. You know, the guy that used to deliver the barrels of beer. Apparently people had seen him. So I remember, Steve started off saying, you know, if we're here, we'd like to, if anyone wants to talk to us, and this is where he went wrong, I think. If anybody would like to talk to us, please make yourself known. And then, you know, we'd sit there and we'd be looking to see if the curtains would move or if a beer mat would flip or nothing. No knockings, nothing. We got nothing. So we were trying to contact the drayman, and nobody wanted to talk to us. So that was that. So after about half an hour, we finished that. And then I was sat on, there was, you know, you've got like a really long bench. This is back in the days where you've got fruit machines and you've got the music box on the wall above you, etc. And I can remember, so there was like a little hatch bit that Steve was leaning through to talk to Kate as she was putting the glasses in the dishwasher, finishing up the last of the cleaning. And I was sat talking to my friend from the village, and she's, you know, just in general chat, what you're doing tomorrow, I'm going to go shopping. And while I'm listening to her, for no reason whatsoever, and in my mind's eye, I get the image of the corridor, and like knew that there was someone at the end of the corridor. But I was like, don't be ridiculous. And I'd not been drinking, because I was feeling a bit hungover from the night before, you see. So I remember I was drinking Diet Coke or something. And I thought, oh, that's really odd. Why did I think of that? And I totally ignored it and carried on trying to listen to Laura. But then all of a sudden what happened was, and I'm sat down, from my kneecaps upwards, there's this like, you know, pins and needles sensation. And it's slowly creeping up both my legs. Yeah, I don't know. Slowly creeping up both my legs, this sensation. I was like going to Laura. I was like kicking my legs out and slapping my thighs and going, oh, that's really odd. I've got pins and needles. And meanwhile, my friend is just going, yeah, and anyway, and then blah, 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 blah. She's not really listening. And then this sensation gets to like my belly, and then I can feel it creeping up, and it goes up and it gets to my chest and it keeps going. And then as it gets to my throat, and then I'm like, oh, I can't breathe. And at that point, Steve turned around, and I don't know what he saw, and he wouldn't tell me, but he looked at me and he just said, get her out. And then I couldn't stand up. And I was like, oh, this is weird. So they had to help me to, because literally I had no control over my body. They had to help me stand up. So they stood me up. And then I became aware of this noise that was coming out of my mouth. And it was like a hysterical woman crying. Honestly, it was just really weird, because my brain's my brain. I'm thinking, what is going on? But I can hear this noise. And I couldn't be. Anyway, they helped me to get out the pub. It was about, I don't know, 10, 12 steps before they opened the back door, and they got me out into the car park. And as soon as I'd gone through the threshold, it was like a it had gone.
Yeah.
But along with this crying, there was in my pit of my stomach, there was the most pain, the worst emotional pain that you could ever think of. It felt like, you know, you'd seen all of your family slaughtered in front of you or something. So it was awful. But as soon as I'd stepped out of the building, it had gone. And that's when I got frightened. And that's when I started crying. And I was like, what was that? And then what had happened, Steve, what he thought had happened is he'd invited something from somewhere else. So the next day, the landlady gets home and she called Kate. And she said, whilst I was in hospital, did you have anyone stay in the guest rooms? And we, of course, we didn't, you know, because yeah. no, not at all. No one's. And she said, well, that's really odd because there's an imprint on either side of one of the beds in room four, for example. So on the edge of the bed, either both edges, there's an imprint like somebody sat on either side of the bed. So
wow.
From and what Kate said, that Steve had said, is perhaps that's where the spirit came from and then he'd sent it back and then and that there was someone sat on one side of the bed to keep that spirit there, or I don't know. But yeah, that's why my auntie Jill called me ghost bait. So there's
that's
a million
interesting.
Have you looked into the history of that place?
Because I know you
said that the feeling in the pit of your stomach was like you had, you like your family had been.
Yeah, it was something. There was some poor soul, and I think about it even today. You know, if that poor soul is still stuck there, something horrendous. I mean, because people suffered really badly, didn't they? You know, hundreds of years ago, horrible things used to happen to people. Life was really, really cruel then. If that poor soul is still stuck in that room or in that building, then that really makes me sad. But
in my experience, what you were saying there, it's almost as if that spirit was walking in, stepping into your vibration, to try and tell their story the best way that they could. Yeah. I've found in my experience that spirit will do this, and when they've told their story and it's been listened to, that cuts their cords of attachment to that either area, that location, this dimension, and it allows them to move over. So maybe that spirit, in their naivety, if you will, were trying their best to get some communication going with you. And the fact that you asked for it as well. You invited it through, and it came in their time rather than your time, if you know.
It sounds to me that Gem's got to go back and finish the story.
You have.
So, I mean, literally 10 minutes after we'd given up on the Drayman, you know, flipping a beer mat for us, that was it. Nobody was thinking about ghost hunting. It wasn't even on my radar, you know, so that's why I thought it was odd. I was like, you know, have a word with yourself. Why are you thinking about the spooky corridor, you know, why did that flash up in my mind? But now I know that that's my mind's eye, and that's a vision that I got. But anyway, the other amazing thing that the one and
well, we're going to have to call time on you there, Gem, because we've got 2 minutes. We're loving these.
There has to be a part two.
Definitely, and we're going to have to get your sister Kate on with you as well. And her encounters.
She's got loads to tell you as well.
So. Gem, is there anyone anywhere where people can find you if they want to interact with you or hear more from you about your encounters, or even see some of the evidence that you've captured? Is there anywhere where people can do that?
Yeah, the best place to find me is on Instagram. So my Instagram account for all the research that I've been doing with my garden and the fairies is called Nature Spirits in My Garden.
Brilliant title.
Thank you. You know, it's like Ron Steele does what it says on the tin. Yeah,
exactly.
Nature Spirits in My Garden. It's a private group. So you'll need to message me, friend request me, and then message me to say, hi, I've heard you on the podcast. I'm really interested, etc. Because I get lots of requests, but I get some people that are, you know, they've got gardening Instagram pages. And I don't think they understand that this is nothing to do with gardening. But anyway.
Yeah.
But yes. That's the only place that you'll find me on Instagram.
Excellent.
Yeah. I have requested that already.
Okay. Brilliant. I'll certainly add you. And then let me know what you think about. I've seen all sorts, honestly. I have seen everything you can imagine, even sparks coming out of the decking, which I think was a fire fairy on Beltane. But, you know, I know we haven't got time to talk about that. But I've seen pretty little fairies, big ones, gnomes, all sorts, trolls.
Orange, the orange elemental that you saw, is also connected with the fire element, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, Gem and Phil,
sorry.
We're running out of time. So thank you, Gem. I really appreciate your knowledge. If you could stay on afterwards and we'll just finish up. But
thank you very much.
Thank you. No,
it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Namaste.
Thank you for listening and continuing to support the Full Circle podcast. Don't forget to find us on our official Facebook page.